Oh, there's hand stuff?
Yeah, I think it's called like a volcano breath.
I've been taping my mouth to go to sleep. Hi, and welcome to the Parasocial Social Club.
I am Jewel Karanen.
I'm Charlie James.
We are your hosts.
And this is a podcast all about the frighteningly powerful phenomenon of parasocial relationships.
Where we investigate our own parasocial relationships and interview the icons we all have parasocial relationships with.
Today, Jewel and I are back in the booth, aka my living room, to talk about sports our dads are gay for.
And celebrity secret tumblers.
Welcome to the Parasocial Social Club.
I just watched School of Rock again.
Oh.
Held up.
Held up? Yeah.
Very funny. Yeah.
My friend Rivka is in that.
Rivka?
Mm-hmm. Raise.
Excellent performance.
As the bassist.
I know exactly who that is.
Yes.
Because my friend, when we were watching it, was like, oh, have you seen the bassist who's like on TikTok now?
Uh-huh. Have you seen how the bassist everyone was gay for as a child is now a gay adult?
Yeah.
That
was indeed how the conversation went. So I have a little bit of a parasocial relationship with your friend, Ben.
And I have a normal one.
A social relationship.
A social relationship. Fuck. Just a regular old relish.
Let's talk business real quick.
Yeah, should we? Let's get into it.
First of all, thank you once again to everyone who's been writing reviews. You heard our pleas.
You heard our pleas.
And you
answered.
Acted.
You acted. You took action. You heard our call to action and you went ahead and acted. And we really appreciate that.
That's what I call two-way communication.
So, we tell you to do something and you do it.
I would love to read a
review. Yes, please. Wait, oh, it's me reading.
Would you like?
Absolutely. Okay, the title is, I have a parasocial relation, ... And I think I know who this is. The author is B.A. Wilson. With this podcast, it's a continuation of the title. Mm-hmm. All right. I'm up at 5:30 listening to this podcast because it gives me joy and a little giggle during my workouts. The hosts are so fun and relatable, and their guests are great. Definitely listen to Bradford Wilson's episode. What a guy. Bring him back. He sounds like he smells good. And he did. He smelled great.
Also, so
Bradford... When a man smells good.
Thank you for this beautiful review. And Bradford was our guest on, I think, episode 3?
Yeah.
And... he gave us some advice, because he's also a podcaster, and he said, once you get to episode 11, you did it.
Yes.
And you now have a podcast. Most podcasts don't get to, like 99% of podcasts don't get to that point or something.
You've made it further than most people.
And we are far beyond that
point. We are far beyond. And can I just say, we thought about that quote, like, a lot.
The whole way up to 11.
Yeah. We were like, and of course, we're almost a real podcast. It's all happening. And it feels great.
Yeah. And I also like kind of didn't want to talk about it too close to episode 11 coming out because I was like, what if
you don't want to jinx it?
Happens? Oh no! So I'm glad we're well past now.
All of us die in one big plane crash.
Yeah. So thank you, Bradford.
My greatest fear.
We loved it.
I kind of go like, if I was hit by a car, what would happen to the podcast?
Shut the.
It's me when my head hits my pillow.
Wait.
Yeah. My anxiety thoughts are, what if I was racist as a child in a way that really hurts somebody? And and what if I die and the podcast goes away? And it's just those two. Hmm. Yeah.
What would we do with the pod? Garrett, what would we do with the... We'd have to...
Do you think you would do an RIP episode?
Oh my God.
Because I think if you died... I would come on and I would just tell stories about you.
Oh my God.
And then I would never do another episode. I hope that's okay.
Oh, wow. That is strategically and emotionally the correct thing to do.
And fucking insane.
Insane.
Yeah, it would be brutal.
I would not do that. I think we would pretend all of this never happened. I would mourn for decades and we would never pick up a podcast mic again.
Jewel would unfollow me on Instagram. And
joke's on you, I never followed you to begin. begin with.
That'd be hilarious to find out that to this day, you're like, I still unfollow sometimes.
I know, that would be so creepy.
And I just don't notice. Wow.
Holy crap. Wow.
Maybe that's what I'll do for our big finale is unfollow you and refollow you.
One time I unfriended my ex-girlfriend on Facebook as a joke, and she got really sad because it deletes all your Facebook message history. And I was like, I'm so sorry.
That is brutal.
I'm so sorry. I was just fucking trolling. I made a huge mistake.
That is horrible. My work Twitter account, we used to, as a bit, I used to unfollow the museum that pays me. I used to block them a lot too. And then just like after a few days, undo it. And there was one time that they tried to tag me in something and they're like, hey, we can't find the account. Is anything going on? And I was like, oh, I blocked you guys. Sorry, I forgot.
Oh, for sure. I aspire to having the level of communication and strange transparency with everyone that's like, oh yeah, I blocked you.
I blocked you for a second.
Oh yeah, I blocked you. Like, duh. Protecting my peace. Hello.
Hello.
Get over it.
Yeah, I needed a moment.
And speaking of peace, one more thing that we need to request. You're doing an amazing job writing reviews, but we do need 7 or 100 more. and
somewhere between that, yeah, is what we're saying.
That's what we're looking for. We have over, I think we have like 26 or 27 reviews on Apple Podcasts.
That's huge.
Like, let's get to 50, kids. We can do it.
Babies, children.
Okay. But that's not even what I'm here to talk about. Also,
Substack.
Subscribe to our email newsletter. It's really fun. It's parasocialsocialclub.substack.com and it's cute.
It's cute.
You're going to like it. That's all I have to say on the matter. Subscribe right now.
Just go ahead.
And thank you to those who already have. I see you. Wink. I winked.
Email.
Actually, I didn't wink.
We have your email. You said wink. That is, you've been podcasting too long. That is a post 11 episodes kind of move where you're like, I don't need to show it with my face and my eyes.
So true.
Wink.
My whole acting career is going to crumble beneath our fingers.
Jules said wink, but didn't wink. And I'm just kind of wondering, was that a character choice?
But if Joaquin Phoenix
did
it. Is
she illiterate? Mm-hmm.
If Tom Hardy did it.
Oh, we'd love it.
Everyone
there'd
would be
fan
like,
edits.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Tom Hardy.
Yeah.
Gay. Jewel.
Yeah.
Do you have a parasocial anecdote for me today?
Absolutely, I do.
Okay.
I was recently on a plane thinking about what would happen if the plane crashed and our podcast had to end. Just kidding. I was on a plane, and on the plane, I was scrolling through my media choices, and Killing Eve was on the little app.
Yes.
And I love Killing Eve. I've already seen it. And it's Sandra Oh and... beautiful lady whose name I can't remember.
Is Sandra Oh a lesbian? Or do lesbians love her?
I don't think Sandra Oh's a lesbian. To be honest, I don't know because I really respect her as an actor and I don't know anything about her personal life.
You said that's a parasocial boundary, actually.
Yeah.
I don't need to know.
But okay. Lesbians definitely love her.
Yes. That's what I've noticed. But I also find when lesbians love someone, that is kind of a premonition.
It can be,
for
yeah.
coming out.
Here's the thing, though. The complicating factor is that her main character arc in Grey's Anatomy with the other main character is very, like, you know, blurring the lines of, like, love and friendship. Female.
What is gay?
Yeah.
What is not?
Like, they're, like, shipped, but it's also, like... Wow, they actually do give us a lot of intimacy in the show, but it's not sexual intimacy.
See, where Grey's walked, House ran. House said, Olivia Wilde is going to be scissoring episode 11 of the season.
Just like Bradford predicted.
Just like Bradford predicted. Olivia Wilde scissoring. And that was really important to me in high school. And I appreciate that.
Yeah.
That they went there. They said, she's bi and we'll prove it. Nice of them.
It was. Unfortunately, still one of our best bisexual representations in media.
Which is this person who dies at 40.
Yeah. Unfortunately, we have progressed nowhere. Anyway, so...
She has no name, just a number.
Yeah, she's literally... Oh, what a show.
Yeah.
So, I'm watching a few episodes of Killing Eve, which I love. And I realize, just quickly, the premise of Killing Eve is Sandro is a FBI type agent in the UK. She's American though, so don't worry.
Oh, and I love when they do that. They just like make an excuse for why an American lives there.
Yeah. And she basically is obsessed with this like serial killer who she's trying to find. But for the first at least episode or and a half ish, she still doesn't know who the serial killer is. She's just like obsessed with the kills. And she's like, I feel like this is me summarizing. She's like, I feel like the serial killer is kind of hot, even though I have no idea who they are and don't know that they literally are like one of the hottest people alive.
Wow. What are the, is it that the kills are hot?
Yeah, or they're like really smart and like a little
and
bold.
It's so
and
sexy to be smart. Yes.
And then the opposite also is happening with the killer, Villanelle, that's the character's name. She finds out that somebody is actually starting to catch on to her, and she is turned on by that because she's like, oh, somebody's smart enough to like figure out how smart I am. So they basically, this is a show about this is a show that's totally based on a parasocial relationship, two parasocial relationships.
This feels like Sherlock for girls. Is that
it's exactly
fair?
What it is. Okay. Yeah. It's exactly what it is.
Yeah. I'm just sort of thinking about, yeah, the like we're both little geniuses who are connecting. Yeah.
It's totally like that. And it's the first two seasons are excellent, so I highly recommend, but
that's falls off.
What it does fall off, unfortunately, but oh, it doesn't matter. It's so good before that.
I'll give it a shot next time I'm on an airplane.
Yeah, next time
that
you're on Delta.
That is where it is most advertised to me.
Really?
Yes. It is like a go-to airplane show.
It's wonderful. It's super funny. It's great. The cast is wonderful. I don't want to say it's pretty gay, but it's pretty gay. You know, it's like you don't want to promise those things.
Sure.
But in my opinion, it's pretty gay, and yeah, just a great addition to the parasocial tome. Well, the library.
There's sort of two ways that something can be gay. Either there can be gay sex, that one's rare, or there can be kind of eye contact.
It is. I don't want to spoil anything, but it's in the middle.
Mm. Ooh.
And excellent.
Bumping and grinding.
Excellent. That was an excellent framework you created.
Thank you. I've thought about this a lot.
Yeah.
Because there really are two kinds of lesbian movies, and it's either violin music is playing and women are looking at each other, or it is straight up the most graphic sex you've ever seen in your life.
And it was directed by a man.
Yeah. And but a lot of those I'm still like, I'm still in. I don't know.
Well, what else are we going to do? We only have one bisexual character in all of media.
13. Justice for 13. Gone but not forgotten.
So what's going on with you parasocially?
Well, I want to tell a little story from my teenage years.
You never do that.
I've never done that. This is maybe like just pre-knowing you.
Ooh.
In high school, I was like, fuck it. What if I played basketball? not good at basketball. But our high school team over the summer would do this, like, they would basically have like a day camp where you could go if you were not on the team, and they'd like teach you to play basketball, and then you would like sometimes scrimmage with people who play on the team. And it was just like a fun way to do a sport over the summer. So I started doing that because I was gay. That's why I wanted to meet women, is why I did a lot of stuff.
I was cruising.
I was cruising, and I was like, where do the gay people go? Sports. And
it's true for girls.
Yeah. Guys, I don't know. I didn't live their lifestyle. Actually, I kind of did. Because I knew I liked women first, and then it took me a while. In college, I was like, wait, what if I like men? Mm-hmm. So
you kind of
in
did.
That way, yeah. I'm a completely normal bisexual male. Look at that.
The cat is cuddling with the producer.
That is, wow, you guys are like fully bonded. She's eating Garrett's hair. She's looking longingly into his eyes. That's love. Where was I? Yeah, I got into basketball and I would watch it on TV. But my family, not a big basketball family. My mom religiously watches tennis. My dad, kind of not a sports guy, I thought. But in the past, he'd been like, oh, I watch basketball occasionally. And so I knew he was a Lakers fan, but from afar. And I asked him in my basketball phase, do you want to watch a Lakers game with me? And he said, yes, but I have to ask your mom for permission. And that was odd to me because that is not our dynamic. We're not asking mom for permission a lot. So
daddy's not asking mommy for permission.
Permission to watch basketball.
Okay. Carry on.
So she says, he goes into the kitchen. He says, can Charlie and I put on this Lakers game? And she said, yes, but you have to behave. You've met my dad. Has he ever misbehaved a day in his life?
Never in a second.
He couldn't if he tried. So I was really confused by that. We put on this game.
What is about to happen?
It is immediately obvious to me that what she means by behave is don't yell at the TV.
Okay.
And I had never seen him. I'd gone to one basketball game in person with him, a college basketball game, and he did get heated. So, like, I've seen him get hyped. Okay. We're watching this Lakers game, and it starts out just like normal yelling at the TV sports stuff, and it gets progressively so homosexual. He's like, yeah, get him, you got this. Then he goes like, Fisher, if you make this basket, I will suck you off. Some kind of it can't be the exact wording, but it really was like kind of overtly sexual. Then I'm like, that's bizarre. He crests then into romance. He goes, I will fucking marry you if you make this basket. So it really has a whole arc from just sort of regular sports play into, oh my God, let's have sex. But down into, like, let's dedicate our lives to one another.
This is exactly the trajectory of an SNL sketch.
1,000%.
And as long, probably as long as an SNL sketch. But
it was nice. and ladies and gentlemen and everyone else, should sketches be 15 pages long? Some say yes. Some say yes. Some say they should take up about half the episode.
17 minutes per sketch. Sorry.
It was it was crazy. And that was sort of the first of a handful of times my dad has expressed a sort of oh, God, I hate what I'm about to say. I think he has a hole's a hole mentality. He's not bi in that he's like, I do gay relationships and straight ones. He literally will just be like, people are people. And who's to say? Which is like a boomer way of being like, I'm gay, but I didn't look into it. So that was pretty fascinating.
No way for me to know the gender of anyone I've slept with. How like, would I know
it was the 70s? And you're like, oh, okay. Yeah.
What?
I mean, I know he's only been in heterosexual relationships, but I am fascinated by that little moment where I got to see my dad be nearly violently homosexual for the Lakers.
Okay. Number one.
Yeah.
I believe that I forget who has this quote. I think it's a contemporary artist has a quote about how men create intricate rituals to touch each other.
You know Sports is about? The greatest one of all time. Yes.
That's the first thing I think of. Second thing I need to say, what were you doing while this happened?
A jaw on the floor. I'm not saying fucking anything. And by the way, my dad and I have never spoken about this again. I've thought about it constantly, but I've never brought it up because what are you going to say? I feel like when you confront your parents about something they did in the past, they always go, oh, come on. I didn't do that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's just like one of my core memories that formed who I am.
Literally. My mom will be like, that didn't happen. And I'll be like, oh, that's just so crazy because I have this perfect image of you weeping into a glass of wine sitting in front of the Christmas tree. But yeah, I'm sure you never said any of that stuff.
Oh my God.
Go on.
And that's why I can't have
kids. I love my parents so much. I really do. But yeah.
But your dad was acting really gay.
My dad was being really gay. And I'm sure if I asked him now, he'd be like, oh, that's just what you do. It's sports. You get into it.
I've never even acted that gay.
It was shocking. The marriage stuff was when I was like, huh?
It really is like the, it really, this is so, this podcast is really something. Because it really is like, that's how people, you know, talk hyperbolically online about yes. their fandom faves. But we're fucking joking and we know it's inappropriate. We would never say it out loud on the couch in front of our child.
I'm like 15. I just started playing basketball. I'm terrible at it. And my dad's like, I will propose marriage to... Also, I want to say his gayness for the Lakers, indiscriminate. There wasn't one in particular that he was like, this guy's mine. It was kind of across the board.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
What a strange dynamic.
Isn't that nice?
I can't relate to.
Your dad's never been gay?
No, and my dad has never cared about a sport in his life. Wait, my dad did do something funny recently, though.
Yeah?
Well, actually...
Your dad is hilarious.
Thank you. I agree. Well, basically, I'm going to try to make this really quick because we have to do our yes. tracker. But basically, my sister like watches this Disneyland YouTuber, and the Disneyland YouTuber recently made a video that was like, okay, cool, lost a lot of followers because I intimated that I am not happy that Trump won and do not care that I lost all those followers. Like, good job unfollowing me. Have a good day.
Perfect.
And then my sister was telling my dad about this. This is all a secondhand anecdote. And my dad was like, who's the YouTuber? I'll watch him.
All up those views.
Yeah.
I'll sleep with it on overnight. I love that.
That's what my dad is engaging with.
Wow. That's sports. Really sweet.
Yeah, it was really cute.
That's really sweet.
All right. So let's check up on our guys. Who do we have to parasocially track today?
Well, I want to introduce a sort of new relationship of mine.
Ooh.
This is just one of, you know me, always talking about male comedians. That I looked up to as a child.
For sure.
Really no, there were signs, that's all I'll say, that I would one day become a male comedian.
Mm-hmm.
Conan O'Brien meant a lot to me as a child. He was somebody our family could all agree on mm-hmm. as inherently funny and not mean. Being mean or uncouth was like a big deal, I would say.
Okay.
In terms of our family's parasocial relationships. But Conan was like sweet spot because he kind of does this thing where his persona is like, I'm the best guy in the world and all his jokes are self-deprecating. And I think he's just so fucking funny. One time he did Rory Scovel's show at the Elysian and it was like a surprise. He was a surprise guest and there was really only 10 minutes that the public was aware that was happening, and it sold out.
Wow.
And it was so funny. That man is old, 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 and on top of his game. Like, so sharp, hilarious. They improvised the whole set, as Rory Scovel is wont to do, and I loved it. I took a lot of photos. Conan O'Brien, skinniest legs I've ever seen on a person.
Bold to
Normal
say.
Torso. Little toothpick legs, and he's tall.
Yes.
So, not to body shame, just kind of sharing
not
my
to body
POV.
Shame, but you look like a Muppet.
You look like Kermit the Frog, and you act like Miss Piggy, bitch. I think what was fascinating about it to me is I'm kind of used to seeing him sitting. So, I'd never seen him like one in person, but two standing.
Okay.
In a full body shot.
Right.
Yeah.
I saw him on the street once, so I'm actually relating to you. I do also know what his body looks like in real life.
God, isn't that nice?
Yeah.
To know what someone's body looks like in real life.
He was walking and talking loudly.
That scans.
Yeah, totally.
Based on everything I've heard.
Checked out.
And I listen to his podcast, but I skip the ones where they talk to normal people because it's annoying to me.
Wow, that is
I'm like,
so
I want guests that are interesting, but it's amazing to me how interesting he can make. Like, this lady is a fedora maker from Omaha. And I'm like, okay, fine. But when I do listen, it's good.
What's the conceit of the podcast? Is it just Conan O'Brien?
O'Brien needs a friend, and he invites people on. And typically, it's like celebrities who are friends. But when he was promoting this travel show he was doing, he was often talking to like random people from all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
And those episodes still kind of come out sometimes. And I know a producer of his, so look at that, Parasocial and Social.
I know an editor of it.
Wait.
Yeah.
Okay.
Congrats, Brad.
Congrats, Brad. And congrats, Matt.
And congrats, Matt, as well.
Yeah.
Great
job.
Co-workers.
Congrats to Conan O'Brien's co-workers and everyone involved. And congrats on this big news. Conan O'Brien hosting the next Oscars. This is so exciting to me personally as a, I'll say it, Jimmy Kimmel enemy.
Me too. No problem. I have no problem laying down on that cross.
Yeah. Happy to walk this back if he ever offered me anything ever. You know, I'm flexible is all I'll say. I hate to burn bridges. I love to burn bridges. But I don't like him and he doesn't make me laugh. My mom enjoys him. And that's the extent of our interactions.
Whatever you say that's mean about him, times 10
double
for
it
me.
Yeah. Yeah. This is so unfair and I never make this kind of conjecture. I just know he'd be transphobic to me.
Oh my god.
I don't tend to look at somebody and make big assumptions like that. You know me. I'm famously a bad people apologist where I go, they're just uninformed. I just feel when I look at his face and his body and his cadence that he would be like, and which bathroom are you going into? Anyways, I'm so glad that his reign of terror over the Oscars is over.
Me too. Oh my God.
John Mulaney reportedly offered the gig and turned it down.
Oh, that's very interesting.
Which is
that's
interesting.
Is that gossip?
That's, that's verified, reported on gossip.
Oh, cool.
But I am surprised by that because I think he did the Governor's Ball and it seemed like for many years people have been like, you should host the Oscars. And he's like, oh, posh. I don't know. And now it could have been reality, but I guess he has other plans.
Interesting.
So,
the Oscars is a big, like, scary thing to host, in my opinion. Like,
yeah.
You can flop. People have flopped.
People have flopped.
Who did not need to flop, like, who were skilled enough to not flop, but it seems like there are factors at play.
Do you remember the Ellen DeGeneres selfie?
Oh, of course. Of course I remember the Ellen. Who doesn't remember the Ellen DeGeneres selfie?
That was a crazy time.
For
that
you.
Was, yeah, for me personally. Oh God. Remember when like taking a selfie was a joke?
Yeah.
You're like, LOL, ironically, this is a photo of us. Times have changed.
Times really have changed because the way I still feel that subconsciously when I go to take a selfie with people, but I also know that I'm like, but the way I feel it is like, I'm doing a rebellious act right now. We're going to document the
yes.
moment. But like, who the fuck cares?
Nobody.
Like, get that out of my system.
Nobody.
I don't want to think about the rebellious act
matter.
I'm doing.
Yeah. It's miserable.
Anyways, take selfies.
Take selfies. I think the selfie shame is from like older people who are like, why would you take a photo of yourself, you narcissist? And it's like, because I'm me.
And I need to see myself
later. And
these
are my friends.
Yeah.
And I love to remember.
And I don't have any photos of us from October 2024.
You guys used to set up film cameras that took like, you had to hold a pose. People didn't even smile in photos. That's how eager to document themselves they were. They had to just stand there for 10 full seconds.
How dare they?
And you think we're crazy because it takes 1 millisecond? Anyways, I'm really ragging on the old and infirm today. I just, I'm happy Conan is hosting. And I can't wait
celebrate?
To watch. I think I will watch it. And I haven't done that in the past few years.
Awesome. Yeah, I think actually a lot of people are really excited about this. Because they're like, yay, the Oscars will be fun.
Yes, and I also feel having a repeated Oscar host sucks.
It sucks.
Because, like, I want each person to get their moment rather than being like, it's Jimmy Kimmel every year. It's like, okay, well, then I know what it is every year.
Yeah.
I know what the jokes are going to sound like. I know, like, roughly who's going to write them. Because, like, there's a whole team that does it, but they're still going to be in his style. And I don't care about him. I do care about Conan O'Brien.
Yeah. So. Wow, congratulations. I'm super excited for you guys.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Oh.
And you?
Oh, yeah. Okay, so today I need to track Amandla Stenberg.
Yeah.
So, I don't really have, like, a huge parasocial relationship with them. But I do, you know, sort of like Amandla is in the sort of a cool rat pack of younger actors who, like, my generation is a little bit older than, but
I was very into them Tumblr era.
Yeah.
Because I just was like, this is the most beautiful person.
Oh my God.
And yeah. I still kind of stand by that. I think,
yeah, you're
honestly,
right.
Top 15.
Top 15 total. Global ranking.
Just beautiful. Little, like, sweet face.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally agree. And so anyway, so I don't have, like, I don't, like, know their stuff, but I do still have my own active Tumblr.
Mm-hmm.
This is not a public-facing Tumblr. This is my private Tumblr.
And is it actually privated, or are you just saying don't find it?
I'm just saying don't find it.
Okay.
It is not.
I don't even
private.
Know it.
It. You know, like, some of my friends from high school could probably find it because they followed me on it. But otherwise, it's just like me and 200 other random Tumblr accounts I've followed over the last decade. And one of those is Amandla's Tumblr.
Mm.
And the other day, I was scrolling my dashboard, having a lovely time, and I can't remember the post because I'm so sorry, guys. I did not screenshot it and I didn't do my documentation properly for the pod because I was living my life in the moment. But they just posted, like, a text post, and I think it might have been something like a little like annoyed about, like, politics or something. It was just like literally a sentence, no capitalization, probably no period. And I was like, wait, is that Amandla Stenberg?
Like an actual post from their account?
Yeah. And I was like, wait, what? Because when you're scrolling Tumblr, it's very like you're just looking at content and maybe you're looking at who's posting it, but it's just very different than, like, other social medias. Like, you're not, like, thinking about who's posting every single thing. You're kind of just, like, reading your feed. So then when I just saw, like, a single text post that had, like, 15 notifications on it, which is low, I was like, who is this? And then I was like, wait a second, that's an A-list famous actor, Amandla, who I surely followed 8 years ago. And that made me feel like Amandla is a real person. Because Amandla just logged in, typed a sentence, posted it, and then 40 people on Tumblr were like, same.
But also the choice to go to Tumblr to do that is fascinating. Because I feel like they really lived on Tumblr, thrived on Tumblr. It's weird that they were like, and I'm still using it. It's 2024. I don't care.
Just like me.
This is my home. Yeah. Just like you. You have that in common.
And it also made me think, like, probably I'm seeing other posts from them too that are, you know, just like graphic or art or photo reposts that are just generic Tumblr posts, but I'm not clocking them as from their specific Tumblr.
But it's retweets.
Yeah. Yeah. It's retweets. So it just made me feel kind of, like, nice because I was like, I'm so happy that, like, they still have their little blog and they can still just, because again, it's like, because they're so famous, it should be like, oh, this now has like 500,000 notes and it's reblogged a million times. Like, no, because we're not, nobody's on there. Nobody's on there except for me.
I love, you go, nobody's on there and you're on there.
And let's keep it that way. Nobody join. I'm happy with where
we
are.
No, I can't. I can't go back.
You could.
Mm.
It's so nice.
I deactivated long ago. Too much info.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
God, it's a dangerous game for some people.
So scary.
So that's my tracker update. That was really nice. I liked it. It was a good old internet moment for me. Felt good.
What are they up to now? I actually have no clue. Because, like, there was a while where they were in movies.
Mm-hmm. They're just posting.
Fuck yeah.
I don't know.
They're like, I'm back to posting.
I'm just scrolling.
That's like what Vinny said. Like, yeah, it feels like you're going backwards, but I'd be posting.
Yeah.
That's how it is now.
But actually, once you get to a certain level of A-list celebrity, posting is like the epitome of authenticity, as evidenced by me having this reaction.
It becomes cool again.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
When we post, bad.
Yeah. Cringe.
Cringe when we post. But when they post.
Incredible.
Hot, 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 hot.
So sensitive and authentic.
Ugh.
Oh, it's now come time to the Parasocial Scholar Corner.
Here we go.
I have a topic I'd like to propose for the salon today.
Okay. Lay it on me. Pose.
So I was thinking about our podcast and how sometimes I forget what we talked about. Fortunately, I can listen to the podcast and hear it again. But as we record episodes, you know, I don't want to be repetitive.
Yeah.
I don't want to accidentally have the same conversation with my friends in real life that they're then going to listen to on the podcast the next week and feel like Jewel's not a real person.
This happens to me a lot.
It does.
Because stories I've told on here, I sometimes tell on stage and I've sometimes told in person. Because, like, that's how they become a stage thing, is I'm like, I'm not workshopping bits with my friends.
Right.
But I am like, oh, I'm telling a story. And then they go like, that one's really good.
Right.
And then I go, oh, you guys should hear about the time my dad was gay. Even though also in my head, I'm like, maybe I'll use that at some point. So I've created too much of a circular canon. Anyways.
So I'm thinking about that for myself. You think about that. That makes sense. And I started thinking about it for like bigger celebrities and people who have to do lots of interviews and press and stuff, and how they have to make up like little anecdotes about themselves that become part of their brand. They have to go on talk shows and tell these little stories, blah, blah, blah. Like, those are all, if you guys don't know, like, those are all planned. Like, someone wrote those, someone helped them, they're checked out by the PR teams. Anyways, so they, and then they kind of create this canon about themselves, and then they kind of have to stick with it. Otherwise, people will poke holes in their stories and try to figure out things that they're lying about. Which happened actually a few years ago. I can't remember her name, but one of the stars of The Good Place was like getting a bunch of like gossipy heat because she kept like telling the same story, but like with different levels of exaggeration. And everyone was like, "You liar." And I was like, "Yes, but also comedian." Like, but also.
Yes. And it's like, you want to tell the truth. Obviously, but I also would rather hear a better story. Like,
right.
I'm okay with a little bending if it is better, you know?
Right.
But that said, I don't like doing that. Like, it makes me feel icky. And I wonder if she feels bad inside.
Yeah. And that's basically the topic that I've brought to our salon today is just, you know, lying to me is a huge component of branding. And it's been interesting to do the podcast and like, I'm not really lying on the podcast, but I can see the need for it. You know, should I run out of authentic things to say or something? And you know, like I'm curious about like doing stand up. Surely you punch things up
there,
or delete details.
I delete a lot if it doesn't serve the thing. And I think that's the most egregious thing. I don't make up things that happened. Because that's not that interesting to me. Life is already like kind of bizarre every day. So the
truth
is,
I agree that your life is kind of bizarre and you have an inordinate amount of bizarre
of insane
stories
shit that's happened
to tell.
So don't make up things that didn't happen, but there's a lot of time where I'm like, okay, the story of my restraining order.
Yes.
Now when I tell it on stage, I say that it happened to me. It actually happened to me and another coworker. We both got restraining orders.
Oh, geez.
I take that person out because, you know, now that I'm online, they haven't really like consented to being a part of the story.
Right.
I was, dating them. And it just felt too icky. So now I go, it's just me.
Yeah.
But that's a huge admission, you know.
Yeah.
To be like, it was two people and I was going through this with somebody else and et cetera.
That's interesting. Like, yeah. So you do, That's interesting, because I do think a lot of people, comics, people who have to do any sort of like stage banter, any sort of interview thing. I do think a lot of people, thing. They just make it up.
Yeah.
I think they just straight up make it up. And I think sometimes they don't want to even cop to the fact that they're doing that.
No, unless that's your whole persona. Like, I love when a comedian is always doing a character and they reference a wife that isn't real. And like, there's like all this shit that is not. If that's your whole thing, mm-hmm. I think that works. And that's like almost a character. That's like a different thing. But I do think people who are like, no, I'm me, I'm myself, mm-hmm. can bullshit.
But you have, okay, another thing. Charlie XCX in an interview a few months ago was kind of just being sassy to an interviewer and was just like, everything I could have said to you today was a lie. Could have been a lie.
Right.
And the interviewer was like, oh, so sassy. And I was like, yeah, because she's a celebrity. Everything celebrities say about themselves is a lie. So I'm like,
did she say she doesn't do cocaine? That's egregious to write an album
morally
about cocaine
wrong.
And be like, no, that's hilarious.
But you have to say you don't do cocaine.
Why?
Everyone she has
anyone,
to say that.
No. No.
Yes.
She does not have to say she doesn't do cocaine.
She does.
Why?
She just hosted. Did she host SNL? That was weird.
Yeah, I think it's actually this Saturday.
That doesn't. I don't.
Not to date the episode.
But
I also recognize. Yeah, now my Conan information is.
When's the Oscars? Like,
well,
tomorrow?
But it's already been announced. I'm just saying. Oh. People will know it's Conan. At the time I'm saying this to you, it is new information.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It's okay. We all live in time, as they say.
Ugh, we all live in time. This is why I prefer on-set stories when someone goes on a talk show, because I'm like, I believe that that's real.
It's probably fake.
I guess. Have you seen the Nathan Fielder one where he creates a whole story in order to tell it on a talk show and kind of like crafts the narrative? Garrett is nodding.
I have not seen that one. Is that a Nathan For You episode? Or
no, it him on a talk show, he was like, I need a good anecdote. So he makes something insane happen to him so that it is true and that he can do it on the talk show.
He's always thinking things through.
I bet his mind hurts.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Cranking. It's like grinding.
He's like, how do I make my life so meta that... It's painful.
That man needs to learn about Dungeons and Dragons. Boy, do I have something for him to hyperfixate on. Okay, we have to move on.
Yes. It's time.
Oops, I Googled myself.
Get in there. This is huge.
This is huge. So a few weeks ago, I shared my intense parasocial love for Nelly on Great British Bake
Off. Gaffar?
Still don't know.
Fuck, Gaffer. What? Well... We'll know soon.
And Nelly, sweet, wonderful, hilarious Nelly, has been very active with her fandom online and reposted both our post about our episode where we talk about her and reposted our clip where we talk about her. And first of all, that was amazing. I was so excited and thrilled. And it was like, seriously, like, it really like made my like week. But then... She was like, you can invite me on the pod anytime in the caption. And I was like, okay. So then I DM'd her and I was like, do you want to come on the pod? Obviously, as professional ball.
Jill said you would be an iconic guest.
Yeah.
Which is like.
It was a little reference.
Yeah. To Z-Way?
It was a little reference to the queen.
Oh, yeah. To queen.
To the queen of Z-Way. Yeah.
Yeah.
You'd be an iconic guest.
I'm thrilled by this. Because this is the first person we've talked about who has. Asked to come on. Obviously, Caroline Calloway interacted.
Yes.
But, I mean, what a huge guest that would be. It must be nice, though, to put myself in Nelly's shoes. Your season aired a while ago, and then all of a sudden, two people are sitting on a couch in L.A. being like,
the season's airing now.
Oh.
That's why people are freaking out.
And I've misspoken.
You're incorrect. False lie.
False lie. And Nelly, I apologize. I know everything about you. By the time that this airs, I will be familiar.
It's okay. Nelly's my girl.
That's so fair. Soon to be my girl. I get a lot of clips of her now.
Good.
Yeah. She's
so
funny.
So anyway, so we're going to, you know, no promises, but we are going to try to get her on the pod.
Yeah. But it'll be a remote app.
It would. Yeah.
Which we've never done before.
Zoom her in.
Yeah.
Or we could fly her in.
We should fly out.
We could fly out.
I need an excuse. God, if we had money.
I know. Hello.
Every day, I'm like, if we had money.
But thank you, Nelly. That was so fun. And I think it's so fun that we have this like weird feedback loop of like, we get to update our podcast listeners on how we get interacted with about the people we talk about. It's just like so weird and strange and convoluted.
We're weaving the web.
Oh, the web.
Oh, the web.
I'm getting all...
The web runs deep.
...tangled up.
It's time for our final segment.
It's time for our final segment.
Host recommendations.
I have some music to recommend.
Okay.
So a few episodes ago, we had an amazing guest, Garrett Palm, who made a reference to Iron Maiden, which I do not care about. And we all agreed at the time. We all agreed.
Jewel doesn't care about Iron Maiden.
But it reminded me, and I mentioned that I've been enjoying covers of Teenage Dirtbag, the song, lately. And my recommendation is to listen to them. I'm going to tell you who they're by. One, listen to Teenage Dirtbag cover by Sega Bodega and Dorian Electra.
Oh, beautiful names.
Lovely.
Sega Bodega.
Lovely names. Very hyperpop, synthy, auto-tuned version. Very nice to listen to. And then a more traditional cover by somebody I just found on TikTok, Kat Burns. Kat Burns, beautiful cover.
Spelled
normal. Of Teenage Dirtbag. Has, I think, a British accent, which really makes the song funnier because it's...
I like when people sing and you can hear their accent.
I like
As
that
we've
too.
Discussed, the only person that that's true of is Charlie XCX. Everyone else sounds a little too American in song.
Kat Burns turned on the accent for their Wheatus cover.
And we appreciate.
So I will link that. We will link that in the episode description. Have fun. Enjoy. And what do you have to recommend?
I have to recommend checking to make sure you took your medication if you're feeling weird. Yesterday I went cuckoo insano after our last recording. I was texting my friends in a way that was so strange. I'd be like, hey, can I come over right now? And they'd be like, I'm not at home. And I would be like, oh, okay. And then I would just sit in my car and be like, they want me dead and they're all probably together. Everyone I've ever met is probably together right now and I'm not invited because I must have secretly done something in the past that has offended everyone in a big way and it's just hitting right now. And then I reached into my pocket and I found the pill that I had put there to remember myself to take. I found it about 6 p.m.
oh my God.
And I'm supposed to take it every day. Around 10. So it had been a while. And I took it. And after that, I was normal.
This is such an important recommendation. You are about to change people's lives.
Remember to take your SSRIs. You do go cuckoo without them. I notice after one day.
They are dependency drugs.
Yes.
You must take them.
Keep them in your brain.
Yes.
Nicotine and caffeine do not replace your SSRI. That's what I'll say.
That's an excellent platform to stand upon. I completely agree.
I'm not a doctor, but on this we can agree. Take the thing you're supposed to take every day.
And with that, thank you so much for tuning in. We'll talk to you again soon. And stay tuned for the credits and another edition of Garrett's Corner.
Geesey. I forgot what a G was.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Parasocial Social Club. To deepen your parasocial relationship with us, find us on any socials at Parasocial Podcast. This podcast is produced by your hosts and Garrett Labonte. Theme music done by Brady Hicks. And for Garrett's Corner Pick of the Week, using silverware and cookware for other stuff besides eating and cooking. Need to close a hard-to-reach AC vent? Use a spoon. Need to get something that fell under your bed? Grab that ladle. Think of it as your own little act of defiance against the social norms of the kitchen. Now grab that spatula and scoop out that AAA battery from behind the fridge.